For me as an individual, my coping mechanism really was writing and creating purposeful art and connecting with people, even though we weren't going out into the public. For me, the key was staying focused and trying to do something positive, because we were restricted to go out into the public. I was very grateful that I was able to create art and write and really keep in touch with people who I have not really kept in touch with. I have never really I really never had the time to spend over the phone with so many loved ones, and that what also kept me focused.
This is Gimma, passionate is in Yaroslav, Ulite Uyuk, Yamuk Tiselaz, Damla. Damla gözyaşlarında rüzgarım dinlenir kuytuda.
I guess one of the particular moments during COVID, in the height of the pandemic, was the fact that I work for a prominent rabbi in New York City. And I don't attend that synagogue on a regular basis. But during the pandemic, I had to connect my rabbi, my boss, to all the Zoom funerals that he had to attend. He himself is a man in his 90s, and he was not able to attend the funerals. I guess what struck me the most in the beginning when I was doing these funerals was that I had to stay on with him to monitor when he'd make the speech or when I'd have to mute him. And so I had to stay on for these funerals. I felt like I was invading someone's privacy. And yet, while I felt like I was some kind of voyeur on someone's saddest, most painful moments in their life, I simultaneously felt a sense of healing for myself while crying for people and strangers that I've never met and never known. While doing that, I was kind of dealing with my own grief of losing my parents before the pandemic. And so in a way, I don't really know how to describe fully the psychological state of my attending those funerals. In a way, it was a beautiful moment where I was able to share and listen to people's eulogies for their family members, and at the same time kind of mourn perhaps the relationships that I didn't have with my parents, that I would not able to say those things for. there were a lot of different things happening and feelings and emotions running through that time while I was attending these funerals.
So I'm like 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks into icing out my mother because I am trying to punish her for bringing me into this world without my consent, and then refusing to help me at any cost with my existence or profligation or proliferation, like, into the world, right? I'm at the juncture where I'm about to start making demands, and I am deciding whether or not I need to threaten her, or if I just need to be firm and polite, or if I have to go on offense. I don't really know what to do, but in other news, I just accidentally spent $40 on chicken because I read the price per pound and thought that that was the price for the whole thing. Yeah, I'm an idiot, and I don't know. I think it's fair enough to say that we don't want to be here. Not always like that, but just know that if you don't want to be here either, it's fine. It's good. Yeah, I'm not even going to say it's going to be okay because it makes fucking sense. Anyway. Assalamu alaikum.
COVID was a tragic, difficult experience in all sorts of ways, but it was also a messy experience, sometimes a silly experience, as I and millions of others were forced into new situations and had to adapt into those situations. And the story I'm going to tell is a silly one. I was in a studio apartment with my partner. We had each our desk, and since we're both researchers and teachers, we spend a lot of our time teaching from those desks. They were placed at odd angles to each other, so that when my partner was teaching, I was doing my best to stay at my desk and not enter the computer's field of vision. But one day I had to pee quite badly sitting at my desk, and I was doing everything I can to hold it in, but I really, in the end, had to go to the bathroom. I was waiting for her teaching to have a break, but she just kept going on and on. And so in the end, I decided to crawl underneath her field of vision, or her computer's field of vision, to the other side and go to the bathroom. But I failed. I was a little larger than I thought. And so what the student saw was the top of my back crawling beneath my partner doing her best to teach university writing. As I said, there were many tragic, sad moments in COVID as well, but I think we should also remember the pure messiness of it all.
Hi, one memory that I have from COVID that I've been afraid to share is that as I monitored the numbers and saw them increasing, I once overheard my mother talking to my aunt and speculating that the towers that cause that are set up for 5G are causing COVID. And this hurt my head a whole lot and made me realize the level of disinformation that goes on, or misinformation that goes on. And eventually, as the numbers continued to rise, waves came and went, I started to stop caring a bit myself and went on dates, and actually met my current partner well into the pandemic, just a month or so after she had contracted coronavirus while she was traveling and dancing. I've been afraid to share this human experience because of fear of judgment, but I think that it's important that we all stop moralizing of who did it safer and realize that we've all made some mistakes, as Boris Johnson has made evident. We've all shown some level of concern for the most part, generally speaking. And then a lot of us have let that concern wax and wane a bit, given our own desires and needs. But I was alone after relocating for school, and the need for some social aspect to my life made me have actions that were contradictory to some of my previous judgments on other people. I think that it's important that we all relate to these human experiences so that we can move on and have less divisiveness moving forward. Enjoy the day.
Pandemic to Denise Bell. I asked this morning about her, like the sunrise. She said there is no response. She is not talking now. After the multiple surgeries, the pulling of her body like rubber, she is transparent as a clear sheet, a body of a planet encircled by stars. So she decided not to speak. Maybe this is a respite, the kind comes when the curtains are closed after a long day, the kind you want to spend in reflection, the protection of her energy. She decides not to talk in fear of the unknown. Maybe her voice without speakerphone, the loss of amplification, the cost of amputation, the tone of threat, the wet cemetery in the Everglades. When the caskets are baptized in muck, maybe she is below sea level. Her eyes transfixes heaven. She has come without voice, but the words are her scrubboard. Washing children's clothes all those years, hanging on the line, it's her time to look back and call their names for supper. She is the mother of the backyard, the start of the crock pot. She saw the hearse riding up the road after the great flood, after years of setting celery and packing corn, women bending their backs for their husbands and living a church life. She squeezes my hand for the last time. There is no heartbeat each second as I walk backwards, barefoot.
For me, one of the most beautiful aspects of the COVID summer that really stayed with me, despite all the suffering, was the culture that developed around the fire escape. Especially in the Harlem area that I was in, I was on Frederick Douglass and 113th, And me and the neighbors would just utilize the fire escapes for everything. You know, it was the way to get a bit of sunshine and outside without being outside. And we would be sunbathing on the fire escapes and make eye contact with each other across the street. We'd read on fire escapes, smoke weed, watch young kids mess around on the street, just kind of hang out. And we would all come outside onto our fire escapes at sunset to bang the pots and pans. And we were all looking a mess, you know, braless, crazy hair, unshaved legs, you know, people coming out with their babies, people crowding onto the fire escape in what I can only assume was a safety hazard. And over time, we started getting these sunset fire escape concerts. Subway artists who no longer felt safe playing in the subways would get up on the fire escapes with their microphones and a boombox, and they'd sing their hearts out at sunset. And sometimes people would sing with them from the street or from other buildings. And it was just an incredible moment. And it happened many times. I wouldn't say every day, but several times a week. And that felt like you could be with other people and meet strangers in a way that was so unique and different. And that's something that stayed with me.
Well, let me start by saying that the last 2 years have been incredibly challenging, and I'm sure I'm not the first or the last who's going to leave that as part of their message. What I've learned from the past couple of years is that times like this are really challenging for a society, and then also for the individuals and their families, challenging in respects to missing each other, not being able to see each other when we most want to be next to them, to be there to help, being kept from being able to see family or to visit people that you know are in need, from wondering what the next day will present, who will be the next message you hear about, or the next person that you hear about that just passed away from COVID, or is very sick, or is suffering from the effects of what they call long COVID, and how their lives have changed so drastically. What to anticipate for the future with this is hopefully we will all learn from this, learn how to be more careful, especially in times of a pandemic, learn how to be more self-sufficient, but at the same time, learn to be giving and caring and connected with each other and your neighbors. Wish you all the best of luck. Stay well. Take care. Bye.
The layers. I have walked through many lives, some of them my own, and I am not who I was, though some principle of being abides from which I struggle not to stray. When I look behind, as I am compelled to look before I can gather strength to proceed on my journey, I see the milestones dwindling toward the horizon. And the slow fires trailing over the abandoned campsites above which scavenger angels wheel on heavy wings. Oh, I have made a tribe out of my true affections, and my tribe is scattered. How shall the heart be reconciled to its feast of losses? In a rising wind, the manic dust of my friends, those who fell along the way, bitterly stings my face. Yet I turn, exulting somewhat with my will intact to go wherever I need to go, and the stones on the road precious to me. In my darkest night, when the moon was covered and I roamed through wreckage, the nimbus-clouded voice directed me, live in the layers, not on the litter. Though I lack the art to decipher it, no doubt the next chapter in my book of transformations is already written. I am not done with my changes.